Well, hello and welcome to another 11 p.m. nightcap. I hope you are all doing okay. Wish you could gift points back and forth. I know, but then, like, you got to imagine people would, like, use that to terrorize streamers by, like, having new people that have never been there before. And then, whatever. You get what I'm saying. Hello, everybody. Alchemical Dream stopping here early so that he can soak his oats. We've got Wild Bill, the man, always here, and King Dinosaur, 70 minus one, with a hello. Guess what we're not drinking today? Mellow Corn. I'll explain why in a little bit. Long day for me today. Good. Did like thousands of stuff. It was crazy. I do have to go back to work after the stream for a little while, although not for as long as I initially was going to. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that too much, Bill. anyway, I have to go back to work for a little bit, but it should hopefully not be too bad. Fingers crossed, though. This is like the watershed make or break point. If I can get through this next, 24 hours with good success, I will be fucking killing it. So, I hit the gym and then I killed some zombies with a buddy of mine and I started drinking some beer and I had like half of it done. Ooh, damn dastard. They stopped him with a robotic. What is that? Little bee? Little bee? Pride Pog. Everybody, please make sure to stop by and check out Dan Dastardly, who does not stream anymore. He doesn't stream any games. He just sits there and plays old school RuneScape and fucking builds pipelines and plays with his mustache and crawls around his backyard under the moonlight like a silly little crab boy rolling around his garden. No, it's fucking just fucking with you, dude. But check this out. I don't think I showed this off or demonstrated this before, but I had this made as a Renaissance Festival thing. This is a custom-made mug made with black walnut and white maple. And because I like gargoyles a lot, I did have the handle custom-carved into a little gargoyle that's there. And the guy that makes this, or that made these, his wood shop, he does like a super cool fucking job with these. And he seals this with a, like a food grade, almost like a salad bowl sealant. So that it definitely doesn't leak. The clamps that he puts on to, you know, hold this thing in shape. But it's a really neat design. I don't want to pour this on my head. Well, I'll have to finish this a little bit. But, it's a nice, big, hearty mug. Like, that's how big that is. You can put a lot of beers in there. I think it was 2.5, almost 37 ounces, 38 ounces, I think. Santorcaze, good evening. Probably used butcher's block to seal it. He might have. But, man, this thing has never leaked. I've had it for years. I used to hang it on my belt and run around with this at the Renaissance Festival. It's pretty neat. Santorcaze, how are you doing, by the way? How's things out on the road? You should have a present waiting for you back at your house. I think that was delivered today. So you should have a secret gift. Although it's not really that secret. Well, what it is a secret. But you have a gift. But cheers to you all out there. Thank you so much for stopping by. Refreshing. Very refreshing. But yeah, that guy does some really cool woodwork. I don't really talk to that guy too much anymore. Just kind of like, I don't want to say like he was kind of like a friend of a friend and they had kind of a fall. But anyway, guy does some incredible woodwork. Neat stuff. That's another one of those things where I feel like if you know anybody who is into beers or this or that and the other, getting a handmade, like a wooden tankard, is kind of a neat gift. So if you are looking for presents, whether it's for the holiday season or birthday, or even just a treat for yourself, you might want to check that out. Ooh, nephew, put it in your room. Well, be interested to see what you think of that when you get home, to your surprise. Bill says, I think it'd have to be something other than that. Butcher blocks are generally treated with simple oils and or an oil beeswax combination. He told me it was a sealer they use on salad bowls. I think it's this stuff. I think it is this right here. I'm gonna show it to you. Gonna pull up this so that it's quicker. I think it's something like this. he said that it's a really good stuff. It's a natural food grade oil finish. You know, he uses that in there. He puts several coats of it on there, and he says, like, once it's done, like, you know, it never leaks, whatever. Actually, I think this is it, because he was saying something about how it was made in Germany. But I'm pretty sure this is what he uses to seal it. It's a nice bowl. It's a nice, it's a really nice mug. Very, very happy with that. It's pretty cool. Don't leave liquid in an overnight or anything. It may seep, expand, pop. No. I drink whatever is in there at the end of the day. And I just rinse, wash it out. And definitely don't put it in the dishwasher or anything like that. I just hand wash it and then leave it up to dry. You know, that's the thing, too. If you get something like this, don't put it in the dishwasher. Do not. But anyway. So, be February before you get it. Well, you'll have a very interesting February present. Cat Minecrafter, how are you doing? Cat Minecrafter, did you see this? Did you see my little gargoyle mug? This little beaky face?
Me.
But how's everybody else doing today? I've realized that yes, indeed, part of my cold toe problem is buying shoes that are too big. And it goes back to that fucking foot surgery that I had, where shoes were rubbing on the top of that and hurting. So I was buying bigger shoes, but I think what I need to do is just switch to basically high tops and or boots. But it seriously, it's that extra gap in the toe that it gets full of like cold air or something. Because stuffing that other boot, my toes were warm all day. So it's not like that's terrible. It's almost like an excuse to buy new shoes. Cat Minecrafter is good, and wishing everyone a happy December. If I can just get through the next couple weeks, I will have a happy September. I'll be on easy street. Bill says good and bad, but mostly good. Bill, it is interesting that you had your sort of issue that I think is part of the bad, because that is going to be the topic of tonight's discussion, which is a topic that I've had on the docket for like 3 days and haven't gotten around to. Alchemical says he's all right, but he's got to make choices and or calls tomorrow about things. It's great that you're very specific and not vague at all with any of that. Did I get my Spotify wrapped, or do I not use Spotify? Huh? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Cat? I'm confused. Oh, you're catching an avalanche of shit for that? Uh-oh. Oh, no. Centrikaze's truck broke down today. So what is the process when that happens? Do you have to get like a massive tow truck out, or somebody fix it? What happens with that? Spotify Wrapped shows like your top artists you listened to. Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked on that. I have like my own. I have a playlist that I play called Powerballed. and I listen to that while I'm working out. And then I have another playlist called Hush, which is like all my relaxing stuff. So I don't really know about any of that. I'm imagining all the top artists I listen to are all the same ones I always listen to. Not that creative, I guess. Yours was the Everly Brothers, and you were in the top 0.005% of listeners. Cat Minecrafter, congratulations for that. Well, Chemical is going to call a place tomorrow to see if he can get an apprenticeship. And if he can't, he's going to snap up a temp job that is an hour drive away. You sure that temp job is going to pay enough to cover the gas? Like, that's kind of expensive, no? The temp job is $16.50 an hour. Okay, well, that's not bad. That's not bad. It's not bad. What I was going to say, your car, now that it's fixed, do you get decent gas mileage in that car? So, in regards to trucks breaking down, here's the answer from Senthrakaze. We call our company, and then they tell us what they want done. It highly depends on what's broken as to whether or not it gets towed. Interesting. Oh, Chemical.
It's all right.
King Dinosaur is not doing good, apparently. He's not great. But that's better than terrible. You guys. Come on, I need happy, cheerful boosters, because I have to go back to work and I'm like super stressed out and fucking like meh. Yes, Cat Minecrafter, please send dinosaur memes. Send it to all of us. Ooh, Bill's excited about that. I think. By the way, the only downside to drinking out of a large mug like this is you tend to get a lot of beer in your mustache, and then you get a after beer, like, musty mustache, which isn't so great. So Dan Dastardly, I'm sure, knows that. That's like if you're eating, like, really sloppy clam chowder, like, then you end up with, like, this clam chowder mustache. Nobody likes that. Nobody. Yes, Bill tweeted about it. Alchemical Dreams, I don't know if you follow Wild Bill Flint on Twitter, but you might want to. Senthrakaze notes that most of the time, the trucks get fixed on the side of the road, but you're already at a truck stop with a shop. Well, that's fortuitous. Hopefully, at least there, while you were there too, like, you're able to get some food and creature comforts and stuff. I always have, like, that mental image, like, man, some of the poor guys in the truck, like, the poor folks are seeing in the trucks, like, they, it's, like, freezing cold in the winter, and you see one of those trucks at the side of the road with, like, the front flipped up, and you're like, oh, shit, that looks terrible. Bill tweeted about it, but if he's going there, I won't steal his thunder, but feel free to use you as cannon fodder. All right, we got a dinosaur meme coming up from Cat Minecrafter. Let's check it out. We don't want to miss out on these sweet, sweet dinosaur memes. This one is pretty good.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your...
Aww. Because T-Rex has little stub arms. I do like the ones where he's like trying to like fold laundry and his head is just hitting the bed. That's pretty solid too.
Aww.
That doesn't help. Yes, King Dinosaur is already sad and depressed. You need happy dinosaur memes, not... Minecrafter just beats him down. Come on, it's funny. Please. He's not going to. He's King Dinosaur. He's going to put on Alice in Chains records and a flannel and, like, go in a basement and have clove cigarettes. And, like, read slam poetry or something. No, wait a minute. I'm getting all confused. I'm mixing like grunge and like beatnik. Forgive me. Hopefully that made you laugh. Cat Minecrafter, that's just you. It doesn't work for everybody. All right. Let's talk about the topic. And I'm interested in some people's thoughts on this. Okay. The topic is yammering. Like, man, that guy's over there yammering up a storm. So I went to a brewery. This was this last weekend on, I believe, Friday. And was having some nice beers, as you do. And watching, I know, some sports. There were some sports on the TV, and I was writing some notes. And I was just kind of like, you know, I was in a nice chill. It's a nice atmosphere in there. There's one really cute waitress that works there. There's one really cool dude who gives me free samples of stuff there. It wasn't too loud. I was like, man, nice time. Having a nice time. Felt really just like in the chill zone, you know? It was peaceful. Centhercase comments. A right side steer's axle hub seal broke. So all the oil soaked our brakes and everything else. And semis have independent heaters on them, and the only thing we don't have is a bathroom. Is that like what's on the back of the cab? Is like that what that stuff is? But man, that's no good. Stopping definitely important, especially in a large truck. But so I'm at this brewery, and this older guy sits down. I don't know. I think he was in his late 50s, and was sitting at the bar. And so I'm kind of near the one corner, and he's kind of like on the opposite side of the corner. And he's like, oh man, he says something like he's looking for something. And me, being the generally friendly natured person that I am, was like, what's going on, brother? What are you looking for? And he's like, do you happen to know like what time it is? So I looked at my phone and was like, yep, it's, you know, whatever. 10 after 10. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And I was like, you know what? Feeling chill. I'm going for a little bit of some friendly conversation. So I can't remember exactly what we started talking about. He, I think, mentioned that he had to get up and go to some appointment the next day, that his mouth was hurting him because he had some surgery in his mouth that he needed to get done. And so I started talking about that. It's like, oh, you know, if that's what you're looking to get done, like, you certainly want to get that checked out. Like, that can become a big problem. He's like, oh, yeah. And here's what started to happen. And I imagine in my meat brain that this fellow was probably lonely. Why do I say that? He had no ring on his ring. On his ring finger, so I imagine he probably wasn't married. He made no mention of kids or children, which, whatever. But you can kind of sense when you are empathically open to someone as part of a conversation that they may have a little bit of a desperate, I just really want to talk and tell someone about a lot of the stuff I want to talk about. Because he started yammering. And it struck me as a curious, Bill says, yeah, micro expressions. Because as the conversation continued, I noticed that number one, he wasn't pausing for any sort of conversational volleying back and forth. Now, if you're telling a story, okay, and you prefix that and have some facial expressions and some stuff where you're like, let me tell you a story. Okay, cool. Like, tell a good story. But when somebody starts to just yammer, one of my favorite Star Trek phrase episode scenes, and I know Bill hates the show, but that's fine. In The Next Generation, the crew has to go to this, like, officer's ball sort of thing. And they're like, oh, you know, I saw Commander whatever is on the roster. I know he's excited to talk to you, Picard. And Picard is like, oh, no. And he's like, maybe I have, like, stuff to do. And they're like, oh, no, you're going. And they're like, what's the problem? He's like, God, have you ever heard the guy talk? He just continues to talk in one long, continuous sentence, moving from topic to topic. It's really quite hypnotic. Like, and that's what you get the sense of when people are, in a way, more interested in just, I don't know if maybe they're afraid to let that wire drop. And there's a lot of this that I kind of want to talk about, which is why I feel like I'm glad I started this a little early. Because number one, okay, I totally understand that there are a lot of people who, it's like the whole INTJ whatever personality type, which, whatever, if you buy into that stuff, I don't know. But like, some people, okay, they get a little bit of intimidated, they get intimidated by too much forward contact and social pressure. No, I'm not saying I'm like a master conversationalist, social, whatever guy, but I try to read those cues. So if somebody seems like they don't really want to talk a whole lot, well, like, you give it space to breathe. You back off a little bit. You know, you go back and you look at something, and maybe you pass a small comment. And if they don't really seem like they're returning it back, well, then maybe they just want to be left alone. You leave them alone. But what's important about being a good conversationalist is not just talking, because that would just be being a good talker. You have to know how to listen and read cues a little bit. And so I started, like, I don't want to say playing with this guy a little bit, but as he continues to kind of like yammer on about stuff, I intentionally and rudely was like, at one point, just kind of took my phone out and was like typing and nodding at something, which you really should kind of read as a cue. Maybe the person doesn't really want to talk to you anymore, or you're boring them, or you've annoyed them, or they're afraid, whatever, right? But that's like body language and expression-wise. That's a, hey, like, let it breathe, give it a rest, whatever. This guy wouldn't do it. He just continued to, oh, yeah, and because, and the, with no real pause for feedback from the other side. Which is what made me feel like maybe, yeah, this person was maybe starving for some, I don't know, I'll just say guy talk at the bar. Not that they were talking about dirty stuff or whatever, but like, I was actually interested in the hockey game that was going on. And so we were talking about that a little bit. And just got the impression, like, the more I tried to give social cues that I didn't want to talk anymore, I felt like the more you could feel this guy getting desperate to not let it go. Which made me feel a little bad, to be honest. Not that I owe the guy anything. I felt more bad that, as Alchemical Dream saying, the social interaction, I know I myself, especially last year, I was so starved for any social interaction, having been shut up in my house for months at a time. Like, that wears on you. And I know even some people who might have traditionally thought of themselves as fairly introverted found that when you were forced to be such way and for too long, even they started to get a little bit of this, like, I just need somebody to talk to. Well, Chemical says, I mean, I sometimes don't pick up on cues, but at least try to stop and actually engage in conversation. Right. And that's not yammering, which is what this guy was doing. He was yammering on, like, rapid speech. And the thing was, when he first asked about the time, like, you can sort of get the cadence and pace of somebody's speech. Because it wasn't like he's like in a panic. But the more he started to talk about stuff, it was like he remembered other things that he wanted to tell somebody about, and he needed to get them out. Like, I don't want to say like, and this is kind of funny, right? Chemicals, but I also confuse the fuck out of people because I will talk myself through things publicly. What do you mean? I'm not quite sure I understand that. Although apparently Bill knows what you're talking about because he says he's guilty of it too. What do you mean? I'm gonna take another drink. Cheers. Podcast folks, you're gonna take a brief break. We're not gonna talk about boots and ruin the rest of the show. This is almost a ruin. You'll be right back. So, Alchemical notes, like, I will talk to myself about a decision between products, and sometimes people think I'm talking to them. Oh, so just talking to yourself. Oh, yeah, I like that. I learn things because I hear myself say them. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. I think out loud most of the time. Having spent a little bit of some time with Bill, I will guarantee you that that statement is very accurate. But this guy's initial conversation was about how he had impacted wisdom teeth and he needed to get out because he went in for cleaning, and as the hygienist was examining his gums and pushed on it, there was a little bit of some pus and stuff that came out, and then she went on to tell him about how, well, it can be dangerous because that's very acidic and it can ruin bone, and so on and so forth. And what I thought to myself was, I almost feel like this guy has a lot of stuff he needs to get out, just like he needed to get the pus out of that wound. Because, say, I don't want to see desperate, but he was truly yammering, just nonstop. When I would try to interject with a thought or a point on something, or even when he did occasionally pause, whether he seemed like he was out of breath or otherwise, and I deliberately tried to talk in the cadence of speech that I'm talking now, a little calmer, a little less excited. And when I would go to start to say something, the guy would just interrupt and go back on blah, 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 blah. And he wasn't reading any of the social cues that, like, all right, I'm getting a little tired of this. Like, let it go. Let it give a rest. I would say he was probably 57, 56, 57. And again, I have a feeling he probably lived alone. I think he locally traveled a lot doing, I think he said service for something automotive wise. Something like tech, but I just got the impression that this guy, because he also talked about how, yeah, I used to have this place and now, like, I just go and there's like a single place that I go work at, and I get the impression this guy possibly for who knows, maybe 25, 30 years worked with a bunch of people, and that was his social network, that was his time to talk about this stuff, and suddenly it's all taken away. And I also would wager that more and more what I've noticed is people will go to a place like a brewery, a pub, or a bar, And they will sit at the bar and they don't engage in what I would consider to be bar culture. They'll sit there with a book or just their head down on their phone. And they won't say a word to anyone. The drinks just come and they just sit there with their head down, staring at the screen, and then they at some point leave. For me, part of bar culture was interacting with the other people at the bar. That's why you sit at the bar, really. And so I feel like maybe this place, okay, it's been there for a long time. I know a lot of, I don't want to say old or older people, but I know a lot of people aren't going out as much anymore. And I feel like most of the people that are tend to be a little more younger and adventurous in a certain sense, but on the same token, then either go there as couples or groups, and then they just click off and don't really engage with anyone else. So I really got the impression that this guy probably was starving to just go to the bar and have a chat. But what I wanted to tell him was, not doing a very good job, though, at actually doing the whole, because, man, you're just rattling off a mile a minute. And that sort of thing, that sort of experience, if you were somebody who was a little more on the introverted side of things, that would have been exhausting and possibly terrifying to the point where you would probably leave and then go, oh my God, this is why I don't ever go out. I hate people. So, yeah, I mean, you can go to get the background noise, but, you know, again, like going to like the cigar lounge. If I want to go be by myself, I'll take one of the other isolated chairs or I'll sit at a high top more closer to the corner. But I typically don't go to the bar, like the bar top, because I feel like that's where like there tends to be more activity. And like, I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but that's just when I've gone to breweries and bars and clubs and stuff like that, like going up to the rail is a little more like, you know, up there, like it's because you want more of the interaction. If you want to be by yourself, go sit over where there's nobody else. You still get the background noise. But anyway, that's not saying there's any right or wrong way to do that, but I just got the impression that nobody had taken the time to sit and listen to this guy. Just hearing about it is exhausting. Well, so what I did is I just mentally flipped my switch to, I'm just going to sit and listen. Just talk, dude. And I want to examine the guy, like, and this might, like, I can be weird, okay? I'm going to examine his mouth and his eyes. I want to watch his hands. Like, I just want to be, 100% just in listen mode. Like, all right, man, you got a lot of stuff to say. Okay. I'm going to actively listen. I'm not staring off, just nodding. Like, I'm going to look him in the eye. Like, oh, yeah. And tell me about that. Like, because even though I honestly wanted to talk back about some stuff, kind of felt like maybe he needed that. I don't know. What do you guys think? Have you ever encountered anything like that or talked to anybody where there's kind of a scenario or situation that was like that? It was incredible. It was incredible the amount of the early miscues of just, okay, can we stop talking? I mean, I was like doing every little subtle trick that I knew of, and he wasn't catching any of them. Bill says, oh yeah, all the time. Generally, I find that people like that are people who are lacking in social interaction because they've done this to everyone they know. That's fair. That's fair too. It could be, you know, let's just say you're even in the middle between gregarious and not. Like I say, it's exhausting. It can be very exhausting to just Could be. But I didn't get that feel. Like I got just. Well, Chemical says it definitely used to be like that when I was younger, where I would just overspill. I can get like that if I get either A, drunk, or super excited or passionate about something. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. Sunther Kaze, I'm introverted, but I love talking to people. It just makes me tired faster than the extros. Like I say, I'm like a switch hitter. I have my super introverted moments and my super extroverted moments. I feel like I can handle that pretty good. But this is exhausting. Especially since some of the stuff that he was talking about, I gotta be honest, it was not interesting and I really didn't fucking give two fucks about. Better at not being like that over the last decade, but it used to be a train wreck in that regard. Could be overcompensating for social anxiety. That's also true. El Chemical says I got like stuff about that I was super passionate about, where I could just gush about them that you researched heavily and loved. See, and even stuff like that, find that where if you feel like somebody is open to listening, either to a story or a topic, and you can slow down and discuss it a little bit and give pauses so that they can either ask questions or give comments, that's like the most enjoyable, that's like the conversational equivalent of like a nice soft hug to like a grandma, right? It's different if it's just like, there's like a rhythm to it, you know what I'm saying? Again, it's tough to get into it. And King Dinosaur, maybe that's it. Maybe there was some social anxiety from not having been there in a while. You know, I'm assuming that this person was a regular. Again, because what I picked up on is he said, hey, do you have this so-and-so beer? And when the guy was bringing it, he's like, you know, yeah, I've tried some of the other ones, but I always keep coming back to this one. So it clearly wasn't his first time there. He also, when he was cashing out, said, hey, I'm going to be back to pick up the whatever. So it wasn't like that was his first time out at this place. So it wasn't like that was a new place that he was nervous or whatever about, which like that could be a thing, right? Like you could say, oh, well, hey, it's your first time at a place. Maybe when you're trying to gauge the receptiveness of the crowd and everything, you're a little nervous. Fair, right? There's a reason why it's referred to as a social skill. That's a good point. Senthor Kaze says, but this is why I enjoy the internet. It doesn't wear me out to talk. What, you mean like this? Where I'm like here for hours every week? So, we went to this con, this like science fiction convention thing this summer. And I'm going to say some things that aren't meant to make me sound superior in any stretch of the means. But it definitely got and felt the impression of a lot of people who were highly and extremely intelligent, but that who were either obviously unskilled and or nervous at having social interaction with people, and possibly having too much interaction with people of their like kind. And what I mean by that is people who, in a conversational sense, either yammer because they're nervous or whatever. So they're all gush and talk. And they're a million miles a minute because they're thinking way ahead in the conversation and they got important things and comments they want to make. But the person they're talking to is the same way. See, if you have two people who are basically on transmit mode, who don't have the skill to pause and listen, and, okay, well, let's think about that for a minute. Oh, yeah, that's good. Two people are just on that hot transmit button, and then they're not used to, like, dude, you don't, like, man, you can slow down a little bit. I'm here to listen. The topic you have to talk about is fascinating to me. Because there's some trust that you have to build up. You have to trust that I'm not going to interrupt you. You have to trust that I'm not going to ignore you or short circuit that conversation. You know, that'd be like going in for a hug and somebody just punches you in the face. If you're doing that exchange and you're pouring that out and somebody abruptly and rudely is like, and cuts it off. Well, that might hurt your feelings a little bit. It might make you feel slighted or nervous or further anxious. So, like, there's a skill in that regard to being a speaker and a listener. Again, to Bill's point. Santakaze says, I enjoy this a lot. Bill says, it was like everyone there was used to being the smartest person in the room. And getting together in one place, they started tripping over their own feet. It was awesome. It really kind of was. And I think it's not only being the smartest person in the room, but I don't even know how to phrase this. The idea that if you're going to talk about a topic, I'm not here to judge, gauge, or measure. I just want to listen. So you can talk, and you can talk about a subject, and you don't have to yammer. You don't have to rush to cover all the points and make sure you don't make a mistake on a word, because I'm here to just truly take in the topic that you're talking about. And I feel like a lot of those people don't have other people that will do that. In some of them, I noticed if you started to talk to them and you flipped the switch and you were on full empathic listen mode, they occasionally got very nervous. They were so used to two transmitters going, to just being like, yeah, well, tell me a little bit more about that. That's fascinating. They were like, what? No, I get it, Bill. I was the same way. I for a large part of that whole thing, just sat and smoked a cigar and listened and didn't comment or talk about a whole lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about. And the reason why was because everybody there was on full transmit mode. And when you're like that, it's even more exhausting your social battery if you have everybody sitting there and everybody's in transmit mode and they're all like, and that's when you get people who are like yelling at stuff. Right? Like, you have all people at the bar, and they're all yelling and shouting and talking. And that's why I don't like doing the whole, let's get, like, five people on a panel, because everybody's just going to sit and be in transmit mode. That's exhausting. I find it annoying. I find that you really don't have the time to put together a cogent thought. There isn't really the trust about not getting interrupted, so people yammer and they run on. And they talk in a super excited way because, you know, the thing with that, and that's exhausting because then you feel like you're being like barked at, like yelled at or whatever. Slow the fuck down, man. Like, turn the volume down a little bit. I don't need to be like, man, you can just. But if that person, again, doesn't have the ability to recognize their own cue and occasionally turn the transmit switch off and switch it on to receive and truly switch it to receive. Some people will do that, but they really don't care what you have to say. They just want the slight break so that when you start talking, they can just go back to transmitting right on the top of you. And I feel like especially a lot of people who either are introverted or whatever, or just have social anxiety, you get into that and it's socially, I feel like more and more people don't know how to receive, they just transmit and they just... Some people have their brains going so damn fast, though, that it makes it hard to slow the fuck down. Again, I'm going to go back to Bill's point. That's why it's a skill. You have to work at that a little bit. But it's difficult to do that if you don't have other people around who are also willing to exchange. Like any relationship, there's a little bit of a trust exchange. I've gotten very, I don't want to say upset, but stern with people where, and I'm going to say a thing that might be controversial. I've heard from a lot of women say that, oh my God, guys interrupt all the time. And they just don't want to, they do it too, all the time. I have one of my friends, she interrupts constantly. I'll start to say something and she'll interrupt and finish my thought or phrase or whatever. I'm like, no, actually, that wasn't what I was going to say. And one time I said, I can be honest. You need to start, you need, like, stop interrupting me. I don't interrupt you. I don't care what other people do. But when you and I are talking, there is a trust exchange and a rapport. I'll let you, like, but stop it. And, like, here's the thing. That person, she works with a whole lot of people in a large office doing sort of manual set of work. And it's one of those things. She goes, you know, I get so used to the way that it is when I'm there that when we sit and talk and have a conversation, I'm so used to your point, everybody just wanting to talk and nobody really wants to listen. You know, and especially if you're like, hey, I have a thing I really need to get off my chest, or I have a story or whatever. Like, you can prefix that where it's like, okay, so this is something where I'm just going to sit and be on listen mode. Like, you can work with that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Again, skill. But like, the interruption, everybody interrupts everybody so much nowadays. It's out of control. It is just out of control. Well, okay, maybe you don't say that, but I've heard there's a lot of people, depending on what Twitter feeds and whatever that you run, that men don't ever want to listen to women. They just interrupt them all the time. Like, man, you know how many times I get interrupted by other men and women? Like, everybody just interrupts everyone. Like, it's out of control how terrible that is. I don't know if that's something that's more prevalent here in the United States or if it's like that in other countries, but the interruptions, not letting people finish a thought or a sentence without constantly interjecting over the top of them or hand waving or making a sound or doing something. Like, dude, that's not cool. You know, like, again, part of the reason why, I don't do those big panels like that is because I feel like when I have a guest, I try very much to just let the guests talk. If they yammer on for too long, and I feel like maybe they're panicking because they're either running out of a statement or a point, or they feel like they're supposed to, like, I'll try to softly move in and interject a little bit. You know, Flixology 101, he and I, when we're laughing our asses off, whatever, that's one thing. But, man, and, like, that was the other thing at that con. Talk about interruptions. God, people just... it was so funny. Santhrakaze says, you need to make a Discord server for us to join. No, thank you. I don't like Discord. I've already got way too many social platforms. Loopy has her Discord, and I'm on there, and I barely ever talk on it. I don't have the time and the bandwidth for that. I really don't. I get it, but like, just stuff like that. I mean, you could say Reddit for like, it's just, Loopy Lee hardly talk. You're like the owner. You're like the, you run the shed. You don't ever talk on there. Everybody, Loopy Lee. Loopy Lee, by the way, can you go play real golf? What the, who the fucking lop? Thanks a lot, autocorrect. Loopy Lee, can you go play real golf and like videotape it so that we can all watch you yell and scream on the golf course and swear? Because that would amuse me a lot. Dash V is in there and says, I have a Discord. I keep forgetting about it. I feel like people spin those up and they're like super active on them and then everybody just disappears. Santhrakaze says, I also tend to not like 90% of females. I feel like I'm just like, I'm even Steven. There's like cues and, but like at some point, like this guy yammering, right? I've had people from all walks of life and whatever, like it's not isolated to just this one guy. This is just a particular moment of, wow, this guy is like truly yammering. He's stuck on transmit mode and there's nothing that you can do to make this dude stop. You know what finally made the guy stop? Was after I paid my bill and had packed up all my stuff. And I turned him and looked him in the eye and said, well, it's been very nice talking to you, man, but I really have to be going. And then he said, yeah, I think I got to get going too. And then he actually got up and walked out the door and left before I did. But yes, that would be super funny. And I need Loopy playing golf. Loopy says, hits ball in the sand. Fucking cockwomble, you bastard. Get the fuck out of there. Lol, the looks I would get. You'd get looks of adoration. Please, I need this. I need this in my life. Can we please get some sort of video of you playing golf? By the way, and also, this chat room is almost always all open too, by the way, and I often do reruns in the middle of the day, but what I really need is for Loopy to turn pro golfer so that we can just watch Loopy play golf all day to someplace snooty. Let's send her to some, like, and Dash V, how are you doing, by the way? Good to see you. I'm going to send her to some, like, Christian golf retreat. Well, Cigar asked what I was going to ask. What was that? But, yeah, we had some crazy manic whatever days, but, this was, to me, is a fascinating topic. And what I would maybe challenge you all with is either the next time you go out, if you do strike up a conversation with someone, or the next time maybe you just talk to someone that you know, remember this talk and remember this conversation and try to rebuild that listen, transmit, receive, trust, exchange. It's crazy. It's crazy how much I think maybe all of us have gotten rusty on the comfortable rapport of a back and forth conversation where I'm going to let you get out what you want to say, and then likewise. And we're not going to like yell and get all crazy agitated. But man, that con was something. That was something watching that in action. That was brilliant. And some of the people that were up on some of the balconies, you could tell they would like, when they tapped out, they would physically just go off and like leave and like sit on a chair. And then once or twice, I would kind of go up there. And then one was like, you enjoying the talks? And like, much calmer and to slow it down. Because I feel like the other thing is you can kind of repair some of that panic by using some of that calm conversational skill to rebuild some of that like conversational trust. Maybe not always. You got to sort of read the person, read the room a little bit. But this is a very interesting thing to me. Especially when you think that like we're all just animals making barks, chirps, and warbles, and somehow that means words and concepts. It's incredible. When Dash V lived in Cali, him and his father-in-law collected golf balls on the beach by Pebble Beach. And he thinks he has a video of one hitting him in the head. Santhrakaze does it all the time. I mean, it's good. That's good, right? I applaud that. I really do. Loopy Lee's dad hit her in the head with a squash racket once. The lump on her forehead was huge, and she was like, "Oh, what the fuck, you twat?" Wait, Loopy was like, "Oh, what the fuck, you twat?" I wish I had, like, just a Loopy box that I could, like, I could hold it up and I could say a thing and it would come out like Loopy speaks. Because I just love the... That invention would be worth millions. Yes, you pronounce it much different. You're going to miss anime conventions. Is that because you think more and more of them are going away and not going to happen, or because you aren't comfortable going to them anymore? Bill says, I think it's out there, an interesting GitHub project, voice cloning. Look, I don't want to deal with that. Somebody just make the box so I can just push the button and use it. I want to go to fucking GitHub. I want to deal with another project. Bill, you just build this for me, okay? Go over to Europe. Get this project. Train it using Loopy's swearing and yelling. Especially when she's like yelling back off camera at like her family, which is fucking hilarious and also slightly unnerving. But like, get to train it and then bring it back and give it to me. I'll buy that from you for at least $50. You're working on it. That's the great thing. Trains up pretty much any recorded audio. Ooh, nice. So you can just, Loopy, you can just record this. Go play golf. Play some golf. Maybe don't play with Dash because you get hit in the head with golf balls. Although, at least you're not going to get smashed in the head with a squash racket. Besides of which, Loopy, you're like 3 feet tall. So if you fall in a sand trap, you're going to be able to get out. Here it comes. Oh, fuck off, you wanker. Cheers. And that being said, it's about time for me to wank off back to work. Hopefully this goes smooth and I'm not up all night. Not good. But let's finish the last of this drink. And you can see there the logo on the bottom. But, as we say at the end of all these episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. And we will talk to you again soon. Or, as it may be, listen. So, thank you so much, everybody, that stops by. Get yourself some rest. We'll see you again next time.